I want us to look again at the question that we've been looking at, which is, what will you do with Christ? What will you do with Jesus? This is the purpose of our life. This is what we will answer for. Not how much money we made, not how much success we had, not what did other people think about you, not what did you achieve in any sense. When this life is over, it's going to be asked of us, what did you do with Jesus? And we've been looking at the responses that led to the cross. And on this Good Friday, when we celebrate the day that they brought Jesus, a man who declared the love of God, touched people's life, offered hope, and gave restoration to so many. And yet he was brutally tortured and killed out of hate and greed and doubt. We've looked at the crowds that rejected him. They didn't believe that anyone could truly be the Son of God, that they didn't want to hear it because he demanded too much of them, the price was too big, and so they rejected him. And then we saw that he was also deserted by his closest friends. Even those that did not reject him ended up deserting him. Tonight, as we come to the event of the cross, we see that there was another reaction, and it was those of the Romans. And basically, he was dismissed. And I don't know what's worse, to be rejected because they don't like you, or to just be dismissed because you don't matter. You know, sometimes if you get rejected, you know, there's kind of a holy righteousness that, well, they just don't know, and I did what's right, and so I can feel good about myself. But yet when they just dismiss you, you don't matter. And we see that Jesus was just dismissed by the Romans, by the soldiers. And yet, many times when we come to thinking about the cross, many times we have dismissed him. And we're going to look at that for just a second, because we don't do it consciously, and yet in our life, we live it out. You know, it's kind of like, have you ever had something in your life that maybe you did something all the time, and you just decided not to do it this time. You decided not to go to the store, or not to go to that event, and you find out that that time they had just had a huge giveaway and everyone was there, got tickets to a concert, or got to meet some special person who showed up that evening, but you missed it. You missed it because of that. Or how many have ever you were in a class or something, and you know what? You knew it. You got this subject down, and you had read all the book pages and all the assignments, and you show up for the test, and you find out that the majority of the test was on the one day lecture that you weren't at class, and you missed it. There's a lot of times that we miss things because we dismiss it. We get into a rut. We get into a routine. Or we don't pay attention. Many times that's the problem. We don't pay attention. We're not really caring about it until it happens. And then we care. That's how it was at the cross. You see, the Romans, of course, didn't care about Jesus. And when you think about what happened, we come to Good Friday and we think about the events where they took Jesus, and even before they put him on the cross, they scourged him and whipped him, tore out his flesh and beat him till he was bloody. It says that when you looked upon him, you could not even recognize his features. So you never see that in the movies, and I've said this over and over. Whatever you see in the movies is nothing compared to reality. The brutality of it went beyond our imagination. And you think, how could they do that? How could the Romans do that to an innocent person that, you know what, they didn't even know? You might say, well, they were just carrying out their duty. But they went way beyond that. How could they do that? Well, let's look at some reasons, because I think the three things that affected the Romans are three things that affect us. And if we're not careful, we can miss out on the cross. We go through this every year. And yet, how are we dealing with Jesus? So these three things are great to read, because I think we need to look at ourselves and discover them. Are we falling into this same trap? It says in John chapter 19, verse 16, it says, so he, and this is talking about Pilate, delivered him, Jesus, over to them to be crucified. And so they, the Roman soldiers, took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. When we look at this, and it just seems like a simple statement, but we read this and we see that it was just he was just one of a group. It's not like they had a special execution just for Jesus. It said that he was just part of the group for that day, him and two other thieves. It was just a common day for the Roman soldiers. And because of that, when we see just the way it even just describes it, they took him out, they took him to the place, and they crucified him. Like, oh, who? No big deal. He's just one of the group. Hadn't they heard what had been going on? You know, even the Roman soldiers had interacted with Jesus. We know that he healed a centurion's child. They had to have heard about him, and yet this was no big deal to them. And you know what it is? It is the danger of familiarity. You see, crucifixion had become so familiar to the Romans that it was just something that they had seen over and over again. It says that when Jesus was probably a later child or teenager, that there had been an uprising in the area where he was from, up in the Galilee area, Nazareth area. And the Romans came in, and they did what they did. There was peace in the world because the Romans immediately stomped out any uprisings that ever caused chaos in the areas that they were over. And it said that they came in and they put down this uprising of zealots, of Jewish zealots that had come against the Romans. And to remind them not to do this, to keep the peace, it said that from that area to Jerusalem, that every so many feet, they crucified a different person. They just grabbed someone, and it said something over that distance, 1,500 people were crucified along the road, so that anyone going along the road into that region would see what happens if you go against Rome. So we're talking 1,500. You can imagine, so they've seen this. It's like one more crucifixion. You know what? We know that at the siege of Titus, of Jerusalem, while they were besieging them and holding them up in the city, that outside the gates, so that they could look out and see every day. They crucified 500 more people every day. So we are talking something that became very commonplace to a Roman soldier. This was not something, I know it would take hard for us to get used to, but how many know that there is nothing that you cannot get used to? You may think, I'll never get used to that. But if it happened over and over, it is just a psychological rule. You will get used to it. And they begin to get used to it. And here's the danger. We have gotten used to the cross. And so it's like it doesn't even mean anything to us anymore. We say it, we go through the motions, but does it really affect us? Do we really realize what we're seeing? See, the Romans didn't realize what they were seeing. They were seeing the absolute event of creation, that Jesus was paying the price for each one of us that we might live through the judgment of God that every single one of us is going to go through. We are all going to stand before God and answer for this life. Not for how good we are, because it has nothing to do with how good you are. It has to do with your relationship with God. And it is only through Jesus that we were brought into that ability to have that relationship. And so when they saw him dying, him suffering, they did not even realize the absolute enormity of this value that he was going through for them. And yet we're the same way. We have lost the understanding of how precious the blood of Jesus is. And we go through life as if I'm just going to be good enough, and I'm just going to go through it, and oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And we have lost the sense of value of who Jesus is and how our actions affect that. Are we familiar? We come to church. We go through the motions. We sing songs. We need to be very careful that we do not begin to take for granted this great price and precious gift we've been given through Jesus. And so it was nothing to them. Is it nothing to us? Or maybe we say the words, but you know what? Our life doesn't give it any value. You can say it all you want, but does your life really show the preciousness of what Jesus is to you? Well, it goes on from there. And it says in Matthew 27, starting in verse 27, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, the King of the Jews!' And they spit on him. And then they took the reed and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and they put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him." What did this show? See, not only did they dismiss him, but you know why it was so easy to dismiss him? Because he represented something to them that was painful. And you see, they dismissed him because of the prejudice that was in them. And this was a prejudice based out of hurt, based out of hate, based out of past experiences. See, the Romans hated the Jews. And they weren't alone, because the Jews hated the Romans. And it is said that many of the Jews would carry small razor-sharp knives, so that any time they were in a large city in crowds, that as they would walk by a Roman soldier, they would never know who, but they would just slice the soldiers as they walked by them and as they bumped into them in the crowd. because the Jews hated the Romans. And because of this, the Romans hated the Jews. And there was this sense of you are worthless to us. And so they dismissed Jesus because he was a symbol of the Jewish authority and what they had to put up with in their life. You might say, well, now that doesn't affect me. And yet, you know what? We dismiss Jesus because of our own prejudice. You know what we let come into our heart is, well, you know what? They don't do things the way I like at church. And oh my gosh, can you imagine what, did you hear what happened last week? And did you hear what this person said to me? And you know what we do at that moment? We dismiss the cross of Jesus. Because here's why. Do you see the very heart of Jesus? He is dying to make us family. Every price that he paid was to bring us together as one. In fact, his last prayer to God himself was, God, bring my people in that they might know the love that we have for each other. And so when we live in prejudice toward our fellow man or hurt because of what those people at church had done for me. Many people will not even come to Christ because I wouldn't go to church because you don't know what they've done to me and it's just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. You don't understand the cross has nothing to do with what other people have done. You're right, we are all sinners. We have all hurt each other. But we don't come to the cross for one another. We come to the cross for Jesus. And it is Jesus that brings us together and heals those hurts. We all know someone that won't darken the door of a church because of some hurt that has happened in the past. But the problem with that is there's even those of us that still come to church every time, and yet we are blinded by prejudices to someone that's sitting on a row next to us. Oh, I'll come and worship God, but we let this fester within us. We are no different than the soldiers who mocked Jesus. Because when we give in to prejudice and hurt and hate and greed, or maybe it's resentment, why is God blessing that person and not me? You see, that's a form of that internal prejudice. And it blinds us to the cross. Because, see, he paid such a price to free us from that very thing. Because, you see, it's that hurt and it's that resentment and it's that anger that is sending us to an eternity separated from God, which is what he came to die for, which is why he went through such agony, because that's what we're going through. So are we allowing those things to blind us to the true importance of the cross? Maybe we think we're putting aside. Maybe we think that's just a different part. But you see, that's a deception. And on this Good Friday, we need to look at the cross and say, God, you need to cleanse me of all the hate and hatred and mocking that I've done, just like the Romans did to Jesus. Well, there is one other thing, though. Maybe we've been blinded by familiarity, or maybe we've been blinded by the hurt and the hate within us, or maybe it's this. In John chapter 19 again, starting in verse 23, it says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, and also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but let's cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill what the scripture had written in the past, saying, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. Can you imagine hanging on the cross after Jesus had even cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing"? He had already looked to the thief and welcomed him into his kingdom and said, "This evening I will see you in paradise." And so with compassion and love, he is suffering and dying for the world. And he looks down, and they're squabbling over his clothes. Can you imagine? He's saying, hey, can I have even a second here? I can't even have your attention. Why? Because you know why they dismissed him? Forget, he's dying anyway. They were distracted. They had other things to worry about. This is more important. Let's get his clothing. Who gets his sandals? Who gets this tunic? And you know what? All that was going on right above them, they never even entered into, because they were more distracted by things that they thought were more important. I think this is probably where a lot of us fall into. How many know that in our church, if everyone showed up, everyone that's a regular in our church, there's probably over 100 people. And we probably have 30 people here. Why is that? On the holy day of Good Friday, when Jesus paid the price for our sins and died for us. And I know there's lots of reasons, but in the immensity of the whole purpose and meaning of life, we are distracted. And we are caught up in things in life that hold importance to us. And we need to ask ourselves, what is the cross? Are we just like the Roman soldiers? You know what? Throughout life, we're casting lots for what we can get in life. And everything we get in life is not ours, it's God's. It's the clothing of Jesus. You know, your money from your job is not yours. It's the money that God owns and lets you have for a short period of time. And yet we're rushing for that promotion, and we're rushing for this, or we're trying to enjoy this experience, or we're trying to do this, and you realize that that's the clothing of Jesus. And he's watching over you from the cross, saying, why are those things so important to you while I am giving everything? What are we distracted by? What are our priorities? What do we allow to pull us away from what Jesus truly desires in our life? And we all fall into all three of these. This is not to condemn, because here's the great thing. Jesus does not condemn us. He doesn't condemn you when you take him for granted. When church becomes just familiar and I can just miss one Sunday and I'm totally not saying every single Sunday you have to be here. But I'm talking about the general attitude that we have. Have we just taken him for granted? And he doesn't condemn us when many times we fall into that prejudice, because he understands the hurts. You know that he understands when we have bitterness and deal with that. He doesn't condemn us for it. And he doesn't condemn us when we get caught up in distractions. Because you know what? He created this life. He wants us to enjoy life. So if he doesn't condemn us for our familiarity, and if he doesn't condemn us for our prejudice, and if he doesn't condemn us for our distractions, then should we just say it's okay? No. He doesn't condemn us, but you know what? He calls us out of it. He says, I'm not here to condemn you. In fact, this is the words. Many times we all know John 3:16, but do you ever really memorize John 3:17? He says, I have not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. In other words, I'm calling out to you from the cross. I know you deal with those things, but come to me and let me help you. I know you have familiarity, so look up to me. and come back to me. I know you have hurt in your heart, so let me heal that hurt. Let me hold you in my arms and give you a new love. I don't condemn you for your distractions, but let me give you life. Come and put me first, seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you all these other things. So tonight on Good Friday, he's not condemning us, and we are all guilty of all three of those. And I'm not here to condemn us. I'm here to call us out. I'm here for us to open our eyes and just say, God, help me. Help me in every one of those. Because when we ask this question, have you dismissed him? We all have. We've all dismissed him probably of all three of those things. But the God of grace and love is here to say it's okay. Because that's what I died for. I died that you can get better. That I can bring you back to life. Let's just not dismiss him anymore. Let's begin to look at him and really see him. Not just go through the motion of a ritual of celebrating the cross and going through the religious things, but really see him. Let's really see the love that drove him there. Let's really see what he accomplished there. Not to be perfect. We're going to struggle with this all of our life. But let's fight it every day. Let's look to the cross and say, God, let me be better. Let's get better. And we can because of the cross. We can't do it on our own. But he gives us the strength because of the cross. Let's take a moment and bow our heads.